Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this April 13th coronavirus pandemic edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network. That's WBAI in collaboration with YCRadio.org. First of all, let me just thank our studio operator for that well-put statement. And also to say we appreciate those essential workers who are on the front lines. And we have essential workers on the front lines in WBAI who go into the studio to make sure that this station can still be heard. So we want to give them a shout out too for their courage and their valor. And it also means that people out there ought to be listening, social distancing, and taking care of everybody, because it's incredibly important. Before I get into the meat of our show today, just some libations. That's right, on-air libation. We lost Reverend Joseph Lowry, 90 years old plus, former president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, key aide to Dr. Martin Luther King. Earl Grace, the founder of Black Enterprise Magazine. And yes, we also lost Mr. Lean on Me and, all that good stuff. Ain't no sunshine when it rains, Mr. Bill Withers. Also, we succumbed to the so-called coronavirus. And I say that facetiously because there are some people who still think it's a so-called virus. We lost Roy Hastic, the esteemed president of the Caribbean American Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And also, Minister Abdul Hafiz Mohammed, who was the student minister for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, and also the imam or minister for Mosque Number 7, the flagship mosque of the Nation of Islam. We lost him. And so we send out libations for all of them. Our show today will continue to talk about the coronavirus pandemic, beginning with a discussion of the coronavirus impact on Africa. That'll be followed by, yes, we do have Charles Barron this week speaking out, giving us a sense of what his condition is, but also talking about the hypocrisy of the Cuomo regime. And then I'm on the soapbox. That's right. At the end of the hour, I'll be on the soapbox. We'll have rapid-fire responses from you and our audience. We have breaking news that probably is welcome to some, consternation to others. But that's how the show today will proceed, and we are so delighted that you're all joining us here on WBAI. And again, I say, be safe. Keep the faith. Be safe, sisters and brothers and friends and comrades. That's that verb, community, as our station announcer pointed out, is so important. We are a community. We welcome to our show now two distinguished contributors to a lot of causes around the world. They are charter members of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, an organization that you hear me talk about occasionally. It is Mohamed Nursan, who is the chairman of the United Africa Congress, and Gordon Tapper, who is the president of the United Africa Congress. To Mr. Chairman and Mr. President, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you very much, Dr. Daniels.
Well, let's jump right into the conversation because we have tight time. Mohamed, Mr. Chairman, would you briefly give our audience the vision and mission, or the mission of the United Africa Congress, as they may not be aware? So a short statement, if you would, on that.
Well, the United African Congress, as the logo says, one people, one vision, one destiny, had the purpose of uniting Africans, wherever they may be, with, the Pan-Africanism in general. Initially, it was started to deal with the problems that African refugees were encountering when they started arriving in larger numbers in the 80s and 90s. And we organized this to help them meet the challenges in the city. But our mission is far larger, basically. Of course, we are charter members, as you mentioned, of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, which has the aim of uniting Africans in the diaspora, wherever they may be, whether it's in the United States or the Caribbean, or Afro-Latino brothers in the in South America, and so on. So The National African Congress is an integral part of that mission, of that struggle.
Right, and very, very impressive mission as well. Gordon Tapper, President, the United Africa Congress also has experience dealing with some of the kinds of crises that we are now facing. Would you speak to the role that the United Africa Congress briefly speak to the role that it has played addressing, for example, Ebola and similar kinds of crises?
Oh, I'd be happy to do that, Ron. Back in 2014, when the Ebola outbreak attacked West Africa, mostly Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea, the country, the ambassadors, the heads of state were very reluctant for this information to get out. As obviously, you know, it affects tourism, it affects trade, it affects travel, communication. We were fortunate enough to have contacts in these countries with the paramount chiefs, particularly in Sierra Leone. So they would be telling us that the situation is very bad. It is very bad. They would be updating us. And we took it very serious. The WHO had not yet declared it an international threat. And we began to agitate. And we organized the very first meeting at the United Nations in the vaunted ECOSOC chamber. We had this forum and invited the ambassadors of the three countries. We invited expatriate organizations from Sierra Leone, Guinea, Liberia, and UN officials to this forum, including one Nobel Prize nominee who had helped in the getting rid of smallpox and had worked in the Congo several years earlier in getting rid of the Ebola at that point. So we had this forum, and we had invited the WHO to participate in it, and they did not accept to attend. At that point, it was delicate. However, while the conference was going on, they piped up. They were sitting in the back of the room, and they piped up, and they began responding to questions. So that was the very first time that we had a forum at a very high level at the United Nations. Subsequent to that, representatives from the Secretary General's office got in touch with us. They wanted to speak with us, and we went. Dr. Nuri Sain, myself, and the now Ambassador of Sierra Leone to the United Nations, Sidik Y, we went and we sat with them. We gave our list of recommendations, and some of them, I'm pleased to say, were accepted. We then followed that up with another awareness-raising event in the General Assembly Hall. This time, we had Secretary General Ban Ki-moon as the main speaker, Ambassador Samantha Power of the United States, the African Union Ambassador Tete Antonio, and others. And this was mainly to keep the pressure on to raise awareness, and again, it was quite successful.
Right.
We followed that by sending one of our members into Sierra Leone to assist with psychosocial support for the communities. As you know, you can get rid of the disease. You can get rid of the outbreak, but the people who have lost their families, the people who witnessed the suffering, the orphans who are left behind, these are very traumatic experiences for them. And we approached it from psychosocial angle to provide psychosocial support to them. But we're also involved in the current outbreak.
Well, I don't want to get there just yet, Mr. I don't want to get there just yet. I'm trying to establish that the United Africa Congress has experience in these matters. That was my purpose for asking that question. Now to...
Oh, sure.
Chairman Nuasan, you are a medical doctor in addition to being chairman of the United Africa Congress. Would you speak to our audience about the seriousness of this coronavirus? And I say that because we still have people. There's a celebrated quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, for example, just over the weekend had a coronavirus party. You know, we still have people out there thinking that black people have an exemption. I mean, would you just sort of quickly remind our audience about how serious this coronavirus is?
Well, the coronavirus is really one of seven types of viruses in the corona family in general. The previous four types were mostly causing common cold and so on. They are known to medical science. The first of the, you know, really serious disease was the SARS that first manifested in China, followed by Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome in 2012. And now this one, the third new coronavirus that was discovered in Wuhan. Since then, of course, it has, spread to practically every corner of the world. Now, it's very, very contagious, and it's deadly. And so China was actually combating the virus within its borders, the Director General of the WHO, Dr. Tedros Adhanom, who happens to be from Ethiopia, incidentally, warned the rest of the world that this is that we have a window of opportunity to prevent this from spreading further. But apparently it was not heeded. When it first arrived, before it arrived in the continent of Africa, the United African Congress sent a letter to the chairperson of the African Union Commission, calling for really a continent-wide approach to the to handling the prevention of the coronavirus from coming to Africa or spreading to Africa, because each country does not have the capacity to deal with it alone. And not only does Africa have to be to have a continental approach, but it has to collaborate with international agencies. And otherwise, once it gets in there, it's going to really overwhelm the already fragile health infrastructure, the health systems in many of the countries. And so we also offered ourselves as a diaspora organization that we were willing and would be happy to mobilize resources and support as part of the perhaps the sixth region, hopefully, to be able to be to give support to the efforts in Africa. Right. So well, it's a very dangerous virus.
Suffice it to say, Mr. Chairman, that this virus is far more dangerous than any of the other ones that you referenced. That's the point I want to drive home. This is not like the other ones. This is far more dangerous, far more contagious, and far more dangerous. Now, Mr. Gordon Tapper, Mr. President, that's a nice segue to the question of how serious the pandemic is in Africa and what the United Africa Congress is actually doing about it. What kinds of strategies are you employing? I wanted to have you on, you know, for this brief segment to share with our audience what the United Africa Congress is actually doing.
Well, as you all are aware, we are here in the United States in place. There's no travel going back and forth. But what we did, we had a webinar on last Thursday in which we had the participation of the chargé d'affaires of the African Union, the ambassador of Sierra Leone to the United States and the ambassador of Ethiopia, as well as other noted psychologists, media persons, and epidemiologists participating in our discussion. And our goal is to motivate leaders in Africa and communities to do the right thing. And there are many countries, there are many leaders. Right now we have over 14,000 people infected. We have 780 deaths. And most of these are in the North Africa. And we believe one of the reasons is because there is a high number of tourism. Same thing with Ghana, same thing with South Africa. A number of tourists are there. But then there are other countries like Nigeria, Kenya, that are being successful at the moment. The whole idea is to stop it. And most of these countries have already established, sealed their borders. And to the extent possible, now, there are so many large slums, for instance, in these cities. For instance, a city like Nairobi has the largest slum in the world, perhaps outside of India.
Yes.
And something like personal space is absolutely impossible. There's no such thing as social distancing in communities like this. And where you have eight or so children sleep in a one-bedroom house, and you have 50 or so families using the same latrine or toilet. So it is not possible once it gets into these areas, or I wouldn't say not possible, but it becomes very difficult to control it and even to get rid of it at that point. So the whole objective is to stop it before it gets in. And that is what we are advocating. The testing, there has to be testing and contact tracing. One of the fabulous things is that the Pasteur Institute in Dakar is training labs or preparing labs that are not normally involved with COVID testing, but are training them to get involved with this. We are hoping, actually, that... This will be helpful. One of the other good things is that communities are raising funds for themselves and preparing food, because we expect that so many people are below the poverty line. They will not be able to feed themselves if there's no job, and much of them are casual laborers. So it will be quite difficult, but we will have to do this.
Right. And, Mr. Chairman, I assume that there'll be other webinars. And I guess my final question is, if people want to support this effort on the part of the United Africa Congress, which is an incredibly urgent and important, obviously, initiative, are there ways that they can volunteer? Is there information that people need to know? Or is there a contact number, a website or an email or a phone number that people can contact if indeed they want to support this effort on the part of the United Africa Congress?
Sure. The website is being upgraded at the moment. I won't give it out. It is USC.org, but it's being upgraded at the moment. The telephone number that can be called is 917-913-0237. And you did ask a question about the next webinar. We are planning on the next webinar for the 23rd of April, and we are going to focus that discussion on the mistreatment of Africans overseas.
Right. So the number is 917-913-0237. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
And the next webinar will be on April 23rd.
April 23rd, and it will focus on the mistreatment of Africans.
Right.
Africans overseas.
Okay, well,
coronavirus.
Both to you, Mr. President and Mr. Chairman, we're over time, and I do thank you so much for joining us. It is a window. It's what we call in radio a window, and we've exhausted. In fact, we're over time for that window, but did want to have you on to share that information. I will repeat that phone number, as well as the time or the date and focus for the next webinar. And let me just say openly that we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century also appreciate so much the United Africa Congress engaging with the emergency response initiative that we've launched in order to help provide some solace for essential workers and frontline workers of African descent and others on the front line. So thank you so much for spending time with us on Vantage Point this afternoon.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
I'm rushing and I'm moving fast because I really need more time. But this is essential information, and we just have these windows before we get on the soapbox, because I do want to get on the soapbox. I'm eager to get on the soapbox. But we also, last week, we're eager to have our revolutionary in office, who is no stranger to this office, be with us to provide an update on his condition and that of his lovely Queen, his wife, and Assemblywoman Inez Barron, and to also talk about the hypocrisy of Governor Cuomo, who's getting rave reviews as a manager, but apparently there's some contradictions that the Assemblyman would like to expose. So is Assemblyman Barron with us now?
Yes, he is.
All right, Assemblyman Charles Barron, Brother Barute, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you, Brother Ron. It's an honor to be on with you. I'm so sorry for last week. There's so much stuff was happening. I blew it, but I'm
That's
here today.
Right.
I'm ready to go.
No problem. Yeah, we just got limited time. So the first thing that everybody, I mean, by now the word is out pretty good, but I get calls almost every day about people saying, how is Assemblyman Charles Barron? How is his family and whatever? So, and I think it's important because people need to know what your condition is. But you also, if you could just spend a brief word talking about the seriousness of this coronavirus.
Oh, my God, it's so serious. I'm pleading with my people. Take it serious. Please stay in. If you go out, be masked, wash your hands, keep your distance. This is no joke. 700-plus people are dying every day in New York State. That's number one. Number two, Ron, I was in real bad shape. When I got to the hospital at Brookdale, I was the first one diagnosed at Brookdale. No one else had been diagnosed. I had a pneumonia. I had shortness of breath. I had a 102 temperature.
Wow.
They put me in isolation. I almost fainted in the room. Nurses had to help me just to stand up. And who they finally see it was getting even worse, so they put me in ICU, intensive care unit. So I went and I had to deal with that for 3 or 4 days to get my strength back. And they came in one day and said, oh, it's getting worse. So I said, look, never mind that. How do I get better? I was in fighting mode. And plus, I believe God. I believe God was with me. And I prayed, and a lot of people were praying for me. Bottom line, by the time they stabilized me, they had given me some oxygen. I said, take me off the oxygen. Let me see how much I could do on my own. I got up to 92, 93. They wanted me at 95, 96. They said I can go home. I came home, and with my queen, and she was positive but didn't have any symptoms at my house, we are walking around now. I think we're like 80, 90% back. We're strong, and we're fighting.
And ready for the revolution. That's a nice
ready
segue.
Ready for the revolution, Mom.
That's right. That's right, always. That's a nice segue, because when you and I chatted, you were, and we had already had some hints of this in my conversation with some other elected officials, that Cuomo was going to use this occasion to perhaps put in some draconian cuts in the budget and in ways that may not have been necessary. But let me let you speak to what you called, your term, the hypocrisy of Cuomo.
The man is a hypocrite. He's being paraded across the country as somebody doing great because he's fighting Trump to get stuff for New York and giving reports every day. In his backyard, in his own budget, the first egregious thing he did, cut Medicaid by $2.5 billion. And you know, that's for poor people, Medicaid.
Right.
The second thing he did was to roll back the bail reform. Bail reform didn't go far enough. Now they're giving judges more discretion to impose bail and having these pretrial detainees. These are people who haven't been convicted of anything. Now they're going to be incarcerated. That's egregious. The third thing he did was to cut $300 million from hospitals. And then he put in it with the budget, he can have the power to cut without coming back to the legislature. And then in the capital budget, no money for NYCHA. Last year, we got $400 million, you know, to fix up NYCHA's roofs and boilers. Zero for NYCHA. But this was the part that angered me most. The reason he justified doing all of that, because it was a $10 billion deficit, then how do you now have a revenue package that raises nothing on the rich? We could have raised, without them being hurt at all, $35 billion with a wealth tax for 2%, $4 billion, a peer-to-peer tax on those second homes that billionaires have that don't even live in the country, that's $600 million, and the stock transfer tax. Right now, they transfer stock They tax them 5-6 cents, 4 cents, and they get $13 billion and rebate it all back to Wall Street. If we did any of that, you would can increase Medicaid, increase education, and what he did with education, he held it flat, meaning that if you got $1,000 last year, you're going to get $1,000 this year, no matter how much the cost of things have gone up. That's like a cut, because you got to come out with your money out of your pocket for the extra money. This was the worst budget ever, and I want to criticize Carl Hastie and Andrea Stewart Cousins and all the black elected officials that voted for this budget during this time of a pandemic. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Now, is there no recourse? It sounds to me like there's no recourse until next year, or what is the recourse, if any?
Well, the only thing we could do right now is to build a strong movement and move some people out of office, because right now the budget is in place. It's been passed. He's going to run some stuff down. Oh, I won't implement the cuts right now. You should never implement those kind of cuts, whether there's a pandemic or not. Because you see, during a pandemic, you could see that the reason why we're dying more than everybody else is because of the preconditions, because of the economic capitalistic oppression of our communities around healthcare in the first place. We have the most highest rates of every disease you can think of, from hypertension to high blood pressure to diabetes, you name it. This is causing death. So you should never increase cut Medicaid. So right now we have to build a strong grassroots black political movement that's going to remove these folks from office on a very local level in the city council and in the state assembly. Because think about it, Ron, the governor has no vote. Carl Hastie has one vote, head of the assembly, and Andrea Stewart Cousin, head of the assembly, Senate, has one vote. If we get enough blacks in there, then they will not prioritize the party and their personal ambition over the people and the needs of our folks. We have to do what we did in East New York in Operation Power. We beat the Democratic Party machine, took them out with black radicals. And because of that, we're not gentrified. We got jobs coming in and a whole lot of other stuff. But we got to get some people bold enough to vote no. And I have to say this, Ron. I was able to vote from my house. They changed the rule for those of us who were diagnosed as COVID positive. We were able to vote. So I voted. I made my statement. I voted no on everything. 17 Democrats did vote no. The vote was like 61-80. We were 5 votes short of defeating that budget.
Wow. Well, again, as you've indicated, building a movement is incredibly important. And it seems to me there's always been a reluctance on the part of Governor Cuomo to raise taxes on the rich. And
that's
you outlined
right.
Clearly ways in which this could be comfortably done. So I think at the center of that movement has got to be this demand. And I think it's going to grow louder now. I think more and more people are seeing the ugly face of inequality and what it really means. And I'm hoping
that's right.
That it means that some of the people who think that elections don't matter, and we know that elections don't matter if you're voting for the same old over and over again, but it can
right.
matter. And so therefore, a movement like the one that you're talking about can have incredibly powerful consequences. And we really thank you so much for what you do, you and Councilwoman Inez Barron, because it's not.
Can I let Inez just wave at you, say hello?
Yes, let her do.
Yes. Wonderful opportunity to be able to talk to you and your listeners. We're fighting, we're staying on the battlefield, and we encourage people to join us in this battle.
And Inez did such a great job fighting the mayor that East New York was put on the list for communities that's going to get extra testing. Because right now in our communities, if you can send a boat to Manhattan and Central Park is being used, and the Javits Center, and all of these other places in white communities, then we got Floyd Bennett Field. We got the Brooklyn Development Center. Build some of those extra things in our communities so we can have more capacity in our hospitals.
Well, that's why it's important to have both movement, the connection between movement and electoral power, and that's power
right.
represents. Tell people how people who are interested in joining Operation Power and being a part of it, what number do they call? How do they become involved?
Well, right now, we, because of the way things are.
But I'm saying once it, once things get operational again, or when you get virtually up and running, I just want to leave in people's minds a number or contact place.
Well, right now, they can contact me on my cell for now, 917-763-3091. 917-763-3091. And we are going to keep this movement going because it has to happen. And we're dealing with mainly on a local level. You can win on a local level. Whoever becomes president, we're going to have a hell of a movement to stop either Biden or Trump again or anybody else. It's still going to be major problems on the national level. You know what, Ron, was interesting? And I'll stop. I believe that if it wasn't for this pandemic, the people would have mobilized to stop this budget that Cuomo was putting forward. It wouldn't have went down like that. This shows you the importance of protest and people's movements, because
right,
no mobilization took place.
Right.
So they were able to do it without any, you know, resistance from the people because of the condition.
Right. Well, that won't be happening next time. Look, thanks so much. I'm a little over
time.
Got to get ready to get up on the soapbox.
I'm sorry.
No. We thank you so much. We're always glad to have you. I just need more time to do more things here on WBAI 99.5 FM. My thanks to Assemblyman Charles Barron, Councilwoman Inez Barron, our revolutionaries in office. We thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank
All
you,
right,
Dr.
we want to
Daniel.
Get up on the soapbox, and we want to give people an opportunity to call in. We're going to do rapid-fire responses we did last week. People can already line up at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877 is the number to call. First and foremost, let me begin by saying, Assemblyman Barron just pointed out, blacks are being disproportionately impacted by the so-called coronavirus. Let me say that again. Black people of African descent, are being most impacted by what some people think is a mythical, conspiratorial, non-existent virus. It is killing black people. You hear that? It's killing black people. And we need to be able to deal with that and cope with that. Let's get over this mythology. Let's get over the, I mean, we can trace the origins and all that kind of stuff. Right now, our job is to stop this virus for killing people. That means social distancing. It means, you know, if anything, you know, like flooding your elected officials and others with the idea that we need support. Testing. Life is going to be like this for a long time. You don't need to be running out here in the streets without some protection. And the problem is we are disproportionately, people of African descent, on the front lines. You have to go to work. You have no choice but to go to work. But we need protection. We need those the medical equipment to be for our first responders. We also need to make sure that people have the masks, the gloves, all the things they need. But we really, really, really need testing. And let me just say what this also means. Oh, by the way, an economic impact. Hundreds of thousands across this country, millions of small businesses in the black community are going to be adversely impacted again. Wealth wiped out in 2008, wealth wiped out again. We got to demand that this CARES package, that it will in fact go to black people in proportion to our need. It can't just be a race neutral kind of solution. We are in greatest need. We need to help more, and it should definitely be coming to us. That means reparations now. We need reparations now. Let me also quickly say we got an infant in the White House. Profits over people. You see it before your very eyes. And what you also see is someone, you know, who is reckless, who is careless. You know, this is not The Apprentice. He's talking about firing Mr. Fauci, who is the most credible spokesman on this question. Look, this man needs to go because, I mean, what is this nonsense? He wants to fire the most because he disagrees with him. Yeah, people like the orange man. The orange man only wants people around him to agree. 212-209-2877. Well, there's other things I could say. We already got callers, but let me just say this. Also, breaking news. Breaking news that Bernie Sanders has endorsed Biden. Why did he endorse Biden? I have no idea why he would do that. Why would he do that? Well, I don't know. Let's go to our callers right now, 212-209-2877. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. This is our soapbox segment. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for taking the call. It was great hearing Charles Barron, and I agree 100% with everything he said. Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the majority leader, she's got to go. She has a bad record. People can call her and say shame on her, and her number is 518-455-2585. That's 518-455-2585. But talking about Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, when he was HUD secretary, he lost $59 billion, and it disappeared. $59 billion with a B, for a brilliant take of money under the table somewhere. It disappeared in his budget. How he got elected, I have no idea, but there was no resistance. Right. And I would urge people to listen to Voices of Resistance on Sundays at 1 p.m. with Lucy.
All right.
And thank
you. Okay, appreciate your call. Others can call at 212-209-2877. We're limiting our calls to 30 seconds to a minute. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Yes, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. In reference to Nairobi and the situation there, keep in mind that you have in Nairobi Africans who have taken from the garbage parts from thrown away computers and have created 3D printers better than some of the printers on the market today. The other thing is, in Africa, it was suggested by France that Africans be used to test a cure. And in regards to the cure, I would say this, thanks to Gary Knoll and others who have presented people, doctors, who have done research, we see that Ebola, SARS, and Corona, they're all related. And finally, I will say this. In regards to what's going on now, we as a people have always been at the bottom of the totem pole, and we are considered dispensable. So for those who think that we have not been targeted, I would say you're incorrect. Look at the proof. Just listen to what's going on in various parts of the world and listen to the percentage of Africans who have died.
Well, the issue is not, I agree that the issue is we are disproportionately suffering. There's no question about that. The question is why. Now, if you mean by targeting that we have not over the years gotten all of the kind, if it's disinvestment, if it's benign neglect and all of that, sure. But if you mean that there is now some actual targeted effort to take out Africans, I would say no, because you got all kind of people dying across the board. Disproportionately, yes, black people, but all kind of people are dying from this virus. And at some point, it's almost irrelevant. We have to stop it. If we're targeted, don't cooperate. Stop it. And then let's mobilize to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Let me just quickly say, I was going to ask our guests who were on about this whole question of the French. Yes, a French doctor, I think I mentioned it last week, who openly said, yes, let's test a possible treatment and let's test a possible cure on Africans. That is targeting in the same way that we had the Tuskegee experiments, as well as the experiments on Native Americans. Those are targeted efforts. No question about it. Thank you for your call. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Good afternoon. What you just said about the targeting.
Speak up a little louder. Would you speak a little louder, please?
Okay. Sorry. What you just said about the targeting and everything, I don't think we should get into that whole, it goes off into a conspiratorial thing. I also want to thank Reggie for playing part of that Bernie and Biden speaking. They didn't even show it on TV. So I'd like to hear it sometime, what was done. because I don't think he had a choice. But they're in dialogue, and he's talking about what changes he feels have to be made. And I think that's, we got to get the orange man out, like you said, so we don't have much choice. But I want to talk about a show you had a couple of weeks ago with Tarana Burke.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. And I think it should be published. I think you should repeat it. She was very enlightening and on so many points, very deep.
Right. Well, we'll talk to management. We'll talk to management about doing that. I know there was some discussion about doing it. You can, by the way, in addition to going to the WBAI archives to find it, we always archive shows on the IBW website at ibw21.org. But I agree, it was one of the most moving and most powerful shows that I've ever done. And that's why I had to let it go, I mean, to course, because the interview was only scheduled for like 30 minutes. It ended up being almost 40 or 50 minutes because it was so strong and so powerful. Look, I got to move on. We're doing rapid fire. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. This is our soapbox section. You can get on the air and talk about things that we've talked about today. You got 30 minutes to a minute to do it. Good afternoon. Our next caller, you're on the soapbox with the professor. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're
Hello,
on the air.
Hello, is it me?
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Oh, sorry. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to say a couple of things. One is I am ashamed of all my fellow Americans and how cowardly they are, how they run and lock and hide themselves in their houses and do whatever they're told by Big Brother. Go home, stay in, do this, put a mask on. This is right out of China this is coming from, who is controlling over a billion, 2 billion people, 3 billion people, with an iron fist, and we're following their playbook? Are you kidding me? To take away our rights like it's nothing because of a flu that kills less than 1% of the population?
Whoa. So you're saying you're willing, I assume you're one of the people who don't wear a mask, don't wear gloves, and who's running around out here in the streets, right?
We've always said,
I'm asking you, what is your behavior like?
I don't want you telling me what I can do because you're afraid.
I'm asking you what you're doing. Are you saying that you are walking around today coughing, sneezing, you may be asymptomatic, you probably have no clue about that or belief in it, that your libertarian rights are so important that you have the right to go around and spread the virus?
Yes, I have every right to do what I want as a free person. You can't tell me to go to church. You can't tell me to start to do this and that.
You are a killer. Your behavior, I'm not speaking to you personally, your kind of behavior will kill people. Now, ought we be protecting our rights? Yes, we should. Surveillance cameras, these watches and whatever they're going to try to put out so they can track you and trace you. I'm very, very concerned as a former executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights of these kinds of intrusive measures. But what has been talked about now is we are all human beings, all rights. You have the right to public assembly. You have the right to freedom of speech. You do not have the right to call fire in a theater established by the Constitution of the United States of America. So rights are limited. In an emergency situations, we have to watch that you have people, particularly like the orange man, doing crazy things. But he's gone the other way around. He has not been sufficiently competent and asking the people to come together as sisters and brothers, as human beings, to protect each other. That's not a conspiracy. I'm not doing it because somebody is ordering me to do it. I do it because I don't want to kill my mother, my father. I don't want to kill my neighbors. That's common sense. It's better to be safe than sorry. Thank you. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We're on the soapbox. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hi. My name is Stephanie Douglas. I'm an artist. I'm 69 years old. I'm living in Harlem River Project, and I'm being attacked by a gang of people, Lisa Thomas and Maya Green and Nellie Thomas and their whole family, and they're stealing my artwork. They're online, plagiarizing my name, my family's name, Steptoe and Douglas, and they are stealing works and doing reproductions with
You ought to call the police about that. That's not a matter we can handle here on this hotline. That's not a matter. I wish you well. I hope this is not happening. But that's not a subject of what we're talking about today. Call the police or call your attorney. Call someone who can help you with that. This is not something, unfortunately, that I can help you with. Let's go to our next caller, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We've talked about a number of things today. Bernie Sanders announced today that he is endorsing Biden for president of the United States. There was an interesting kind of conversation in which they were going back and forth in terms of different ideas that they might work together on. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, that's a surprising announcement, I would think, for many people perhaps to want to comment on. But it's also the question of the seriousness of this virus. It's also a question of reparations for these communities that have been suffering. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about based on what we shared today on the conversation. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hello.
You're on the soapbox.
Happy Resurrection Year.
Yes.
This being the second day of the resurrection.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll get the entire year. And I think your show has really started it off nicely with the international flavor. One of our greatest warriors is alive and well.
Oh, yes.
And talks about how badly this virus is. For any of those who doubted the seriousness of this, he told you just a few minutes ago how serious it is. And it's a lovely queen that he has with him as well. So we're all doing well. But again, this is the second day of this resurrection, and we can make this happen for us. And Bernie and the rest of them, on the international, the Congress, I didn't get that telephone number again. I would want that on the 23rd.
Yes, the, that number, I'll give it out to you right now, 917-913-0237. That's United Africa Congress, 917-913-0237. They're having another webinar on April 23rd. It will be focusing on the impact of the coronavirus on people of African descent.
And I did not know all of that about Cuomo, which is very serious because it looks like he's trying to run for president.
Yeah, but that's why we have our revolutionary in office and on the air. We can always
that's
call
why I
him.
Said it was a great show.
He'll speak truth to power. Look, got to move on to my next caller. Thank you for reminding us that we're in the second day of the resurrection. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We will rise, as Maya Angelou said, strong women and men keep on coming. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Yes, good afternoon, professor. My name is Evangeline. I'm calling from Manhattan. And I'd like to put a spin on that gentleman that is taking too many risks and endangering too many people around him. If he wants to be so independent, I think he should make his own mask. There are a lot of different funny ideas and serious ideas. My friend in Houston said the women wear bra cups as mouth guards. And then the Norris antivirus CD. So there are a lot of inventive things to do. And also, since I'm home and my business is gone, I sell clothes, retail, blah, 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 and books. They're all closed. Cottage Industries makes things yourself or photograph them, put them on eBay, and thrive. And fear is lack of faith. I do believe that this will be over, and we have to pray.
Right. Let me ask you a question. And by the way, one of the things that's happening so marvelously are people like you and businesses like you. There was a beautiful, there was a very good article in the New York Times the other day about the entrepreneurs that matter. And it was really good because it's entrepreneurs like you that matter, who have a spirit of community and whatnot. Some of these other companies and corporations have no sense of that. How are you faring out in terms of getting one of those loans or the grants? Are you, tell us about what your experience has been.
Getting what was that?
The loans. You know, there's supposed to be money coming through. If your business is shut down, you are eligible to apply under the CARES program to get a loan, which can be converted to a grant.
No.
So has that working for you at all?
Actually, I don't have the business. I sell to places that have good used clothes, like and Buffalo Exchange and Beacon's Closet. And some people can make this a business because they're even you can buy clothing by the pound.
Right, I got
Avenue. So that's all gone.
Okay. Well, look, thank you so much for your very positive contributions. We can take maybe one or two quickly. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor. Talk right to us.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. I have to agree a little bit with the caller before the last lady was on, the one that was saying, you know, we're being forced to do things that... No, I agree with him a little. I think we're kind of being prepared for martial law, first of all. I'm looking at the people in their masks going in the stores. The clerks are wearing gloves. They're wearing the same gloves over and over again, customer after customer, handling God knows how much money. They're not changing the gloves, nor are they washing them. So, yes, it's helping a little, but in the end...
So you're saying you don't believe this whole thing about social distancing and all that is having an effect?
It's not that I don't believe in it. You have to take care of yourself. Yes,
right.
There's a virus out there.
So what's your point?
Well, I'm saying that what they're doing, it doesn't seem to me like it's going to be totally effective.
Well,
but if I
be.
Could... I hope that it is.
Let me. You made your point. Let me take my final caller. Good afternoon. You're the final caller on the soapbox. Quickly, 30 seconds.
Hello?
You got 30 seconds. You're the final caller on the soapbox.
Okay, thank you.
Speak up.
Hi, this is Dorla calling from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a nurse. And I'm wondering if the public is thinking that those bags don't contain bodies that are being sent out. When I hear people saying that they don't believe in it, those are actual bodies that are in those bags that are going out. Nurses and doctors are not staging a soap opera.
Right.
Secondly, I'm wondering if Mr. Saunders is waiting in the wings should that whole lawsuit against Mr. Biden blows up. So
right.
Then
that's
the
a good
party
possibility.
Would have someone.
Yeah, that's a serious issue, by the way, and we need to talk about that. We've run out of time. Thank you so much, though, as somebody who's on the front line and reminding us that this is really serious. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. By the way, go to the website, IBW21.org, IBW21.org. Tremendous resources there around the coronavirus pandemic. Also, if you're interested in joining Operation Power and helping out, 917-763-3091. 917-763-3091. And the United Africa Congress, 917-913-0237. This is the professor. We'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point 99.5 FM on the Pacifica dial in collaboration with YCRadio.org.